This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jones and Keefe.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
Well, I would say not disappointing at all. I think that these are allegations. Like you mentioned in your question, it's things that we have to handle, and every day that there's distractions, some are smaller than others. And I'm confident that we'll focus on the Dolphins, and those two individuals that you mentioned will be able to handle the ongoing legal process.
Patriots head coach Mike Vrabel addressing the media to open it up on Wednesday. We'll be talking to the media again in a couple minutes. We're hoping to have Mike Onwenu in a few minutes as well. The Patriots are just wrapping up practice down at Gillette. But that was in response, that first answer, to Karen Garigian of Mass Live, who asked, hey, is it disappointing to see these situations unfold? And keep in mind, when Mike Vrabel was answering that question, you have the Stephon Diggs news that came out the day before. In the middle of the day, we were on air together, John, and everybody's, running down to the courthouse, trying to figure out what's going on, trying to get the court reports. And then the next morning, the very next morning, you have the Christian Barmore allegations that emerged and the court documents from that. And they're two different situations, but they both involve accusations of physical violence involving women. And so they're very sensitive. They're very serious allegations. They are allegations. So they have not gone through the legal process. Nobody has been found liable or guilty. Nobody has been found not guilty yet. It's the very beginning of that. And so I don't want to sit here and bring any judgment about things that we don't know about. We don't know about these people making the allegations. We don't know motivations. We don't know what happened in the alleged incidents. Like, not here to bring down the judgment on that. What I will say is I was in that room when Mike Vrabel was giving that answer, and I was surprised that that's the answer that he started with. So yeah. I want to give credit to Mike Vrabel for standing up there like a human being and actually taking question after question after question about what was going on off the field with the players that he manages. Because too often, in not just in Foxborough, but around the league, you have people who give a canned statement. They don't take further questions. They defer, say, this is a legal process, a legal matter, and I'm not addressing it anymore. I'll talk about Miami. I'll talk about Miami. I'll talk about Miami. Bill Belichick did that for 20 years here. Gerard Mayo, I'm guessing because of how he handled the Jabril Peppers allegations last year, probably would have likely handled it the same way. So credit to Vrabel for opening himself up to such criticism, because he's handling it like a human being and actually taking questions and answering them. At the same time, I know that tone made some people bristle a little bit, or not even maybe the tone, but the word choice. I think after that, though, the context around it, I thought he did a pretty respectful job of handling a sensitive situation.
Yeah, I thought the first answer was kind of risky, like when you say not disappointed at all. And then as he moved beyond that, obviously there was more context added. There was more levels to it. What has stood out to me, Mego, through all of this is the level that the Patriots organization has backed up Steph Diggs. And I know the Barmore situation is different, but the statement they put out against Diggs was one of the stronger statements I've seen that organization put out in a long time about anything. We support Stephon. And then to kind of wrap that into Vrabel's first answer of like not being disappointed at the situation, I think that, like, again, the Barmore situation separate. The level that they've stood by Steph Diggs has really been eye-opening for me, because I expected, like you said, the boilerplate, we're gathering information, we'll have no further comment, and then Vrabel to go up, and when you guys asked him, say, we've put out a statement, refer to the statement, which they've done 100 times, and every business and every sports team does. So for them to come out with that particular statement about Diggs and follow with Vrabel having, I think, a pretty open press conference, that really, really stood out to me.
I think it is, in many ways, a way of him practicing what he preaches, which is speak for yourself. And he felt, seemed to be, like, feeling the need to speak for himself as the head coach and the leader of the team and to try to be transparent about it. Now, it did get a little hairy at times because people sitting in the room had the court documents in front of them of what the accuser against Christian Barmore had. And some of it involved allegations that go beyond just Christian Barmore. There's in the report that the alleged victim called a car service that it works with the Patriots to come take her and a child to Delaware. That's what the court documents that I see from NBC 10 say. I think that that is, you know, I just remain surprised that Vrabel opened himself up, because even the way that he said that, that's the kind of thing that can come back and be haunting if it ends up, if further evidence comes out. I know that some of the questions around whether these two will be on the NFL commissioner's exempt list, like, that's something to keep watching. As it stands here today, I think a lot of it seems to be tied to when their arraignments are going to be. So the next time they're in court and the Patriots are trying to push to have Stephon Diggs' arraignment date pushed back, because apparently right now it's, what, 2 days before?
Right now I think it's scheduled January 23rd, which would be 2 days before the AFC championship game.
So they're going to try to get that pushed back. But one thing that you noted there about the organization's response overall, the two statements are night and day.
Oh, yeah.
They could not be more different.
And the Barmore statement is that boilerplate kind of, we're gathering, you know, we know of the instance, that's it.
And it's important because I thought Trenton Casey on Early Edition on NBC Sports Boston did an excellent job illustrating why the Stephon Diggs statement and saying we support Stephon was such a full-throated support of the player in this sensitive situation.
My point is, you don't have to put that in there. That just opens you up, I think, because the one phrase everyone has talked about today, they haven't talked about the release in its entirety. They haven't even talked. I haven't even heard a lot of people talking about whether or not he's going to play on Sunday or if he'll be on the NFL's commissioner's exempt list. It's all about, well, it must not be that bad if the mm-hmm. Patriots are supporting him. I just think that you can support someone without putting it in a statement and putting it out there unless you are prepared to say exactly why you continue to support him. I just think it's a slippery slope, and I think it sets a dangerous precedent for a team, if we are being honest,
right,
that has been caught with its pants down before.
And I mean, like, the one thing is, like, now going forward, every time they put out a statement like this and that's not in there, like, what are we going to think?
Right.
So, yeah, I that kind of illustrates it there.
Yeah.
You put out something saying we support player X and these are accusations brought against him, and then you kind of have to, the statement that you put out against, or rather considering Christian Barmore, is boilerplate, and it looks honestly like you are backing him a little bit less. And then you have to have the coach get up there and say this is not disappointing at all. Drake May gets up and also talks on the character of both guys, teammates in his locker room. It's a sensitive situation. It's a tightrope that you have to walk, again, between the legal proceedings and the seriousness of the allegations. But from a football perspective, John, I'm surprised at people that I've heard who think that this is not going to be a distraction.
And it's one thing to really monitor, because this is a young team, and even the guys that aren't young, a lot of them are new guys. Like, even obviously Diggs is a new guy, but Milton Williams and Spillane, some of the guys we look at as leaders, those are new guys. Morgan Moses is a new guy. Yeah, they're veterans, but they're new guys here.
Morgan Moses is the oldest guy in the room.
But he's a new guy here. And then you look at a lot of these other key pieces, whether it's Travion Henderson, Will Campbell, Jared Wills, all rookies, young guys, even guys in that receiver room, like DeMario Douglas, Kayshon Booty. They're only in their third year. It's not like these are 5 or 6 year vets. They're only in their third year. This is the first good team those guys have been on. So it's worth monitoring. Does it affect any of these guys? Do either of these situations affect any of these guys, whether it's during the week with the media, as we've seen some of them have to answer questions, or is it on Sunday? Is it in a play? And it might not. But I think it's like, if this was a veteran team, If this was the Brady Belichick Patriots going through Deflategate, we were like, all right, this isn't really going to bother them. Like, they're okay. But we don't know. I mean, they might be fine, but we really don't know. I mean, their head coach, Mike Vrabel, played here during Spygate in 07, but he hasn't really dealt with anything like this as a head coach. So it is, to me, something worth monitoring. Like, if they come out and they don't play well against Miami, or they look really flat in a wild card game and they lose, you don't think people are going to mention this stuff?
617-779-7937 if you want to jump in on the phones and weigh in on what you think the football ramifications are for the Patriots, or just how you're feeling about the news coming out with these two different players as the week goes on, what you think is going to happen as week 18 looms over and then the playoffs after that. I just don't think you can pick and choose when the intangibles matter. So when we hear all year long players say, this is the closest locker room I've ever been in, I love this locker room, and the coach is the difference maker and the culture setter, and that the sum is greater than the individual parts. And these are all the reasons, on top of an MVP caliber season from Drake May, that the team is as good as it is. I don't think you get to turn all those reasons off when something intangible and bad off the field maybe potentially happened, like alleged. If there's a big distraction off the field or a big occurrence with two different players, and by the way, they're two of the most talented players on your roster, I don't think you get to just sit there and say, well, now that stuff doesn't really matter. You could tell me maybe you feel like this will further galvanize the team, but don't tell me that an individual is not going to be affected by something going on with Stephon Diggs when you've been telling me all season long that Stephon Diggs has been the difference maker in the wide receiver room. Like, you can't have it both ways. That's how I feel about it. I don't see how it's not at least somewhat of a distraction. I don't think it's the kind of thing that could derail the Patriots from the playoffs, or that are going to be the difference between them, say, winning or losing against the fraud Broncos in the AFC Championship game. I'm not saying that, but don't tell me that it doesn't have any effect down there. Come on.
Yeah, and then there's also just the actual football aspect where you alluded to. Diggs is your second best offensive player, and Barmore is one of your better defensive players and one of your highest paid guys. Like, you don't think that could have an effect on them? Like, what if they're not available? And we're not saying they will or they won't be, but now is that something the coaching staff has to consider in the back of their minds? Is that something that if it comes to fruition could affect a game? Like, yeah, so there's like the serious off-field part of it, there's the locker room part of it, and then there's the actual in-between-the-white-lines football part of it, which I think all three of which could have a significant impact one way or the other. And by the way, both of these guys could end up being found innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And it still is going to be a distraction potentially in the locker room. And it still could affect them on the field. And of course, if they're both found guilty, that will be as well.
Right. Again, important to reiterate, it's just the beginning of the legal process. We don't know. John doesn't know. I don't know. Jackson doesn't know. I don't know where Zach Coe went. I thought he was still working on the show. I don't know who's behind the glass back there. He left, so maybe he knows. I don't know. No, nobody knows. Like, so we're just at the beginning of this, and that's what the legal system is there for. It bears worth repeating. Nobody's sitting here saying innocent or guilty or anything like that, but to pretend like it's not a big deal and say, like, ugh, just talk about the sports side of it, I think it's all wrapped up together, and I don't know how you don't see it that way. 617-779-7937, Charlie in Brockton. What's going on, Charlie?
Well, I'm just calling because I've seen a few people talking, you know, local pundits talking on the sports TV shows and whatnot, and some of the things they've been saying about how you can't assume he's innocent, you know, talking specifically about Stephon Diggs. And I understand if you've got something like the Rice video where you're seeing an altercation, you're seeing the evidence in front of your face, you can't deny what's in front of you. But to say that because an accusation happened against a person that they should be punished or perceived in a certain way is really empowering bad people to do bad actions in the future. If you can simply, you know, put an accusation against a player to have them put on the NFL exempt list or have them be shamed, then you're empowering people to extort others in that type of situation in the future. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but we don't know. And since we know nothing except for there's an accusation, the basis of our whole judicial system is the assumption of innocence until proven guilty. And I think that's the way we should proceed with these two particular instances, unless something comes out that's showing us more than we can see.
I agree. Thank you, Charlie. Yeah, great call. It's true. Yeah. There is a level of this of, hey, there, you know, you want to believe people who come forward with serious allegations or, you know, treat them with respect to those allegations. On the other side, we can't sit here and say because someone brings allegations against somebody else that they are suddenly like deserve a punishment, right? Like there is a level of that to consider.
And there's the old kind of question. What did the team know and when did they know it? Because
Which is, to me, the most fascinating
right,
part of
because
this.
Because the Barmore thing happened in August. The Diggs thing happened. Today's January 2nd, so literally a month ago today. So has the team known all along and feel comfortable with these situations? Because that's the other part of the team statement about Diggs. They released it 20 minutes after the news broke. They had that statement ready, which tells me they've looked into it and they think he's innocent. Like, they had that ready. That wasn't like news comes out 3 hours later, team statement. 20 minutes later, that statement was out. So I think...
So one thing that Vrabel said on Wednesday that I thought was worth noting was he was asked about when the team was made aware. And he said a question, he gave an answer rather that wasn't completely precise. He said once things went into the court system, we were aware of that. Something along those lines.
Yeah. So
and
is that
so
when she made her first report on the 16th?
The charges allegedly, according to local news reports from Boston 25, didn't happen until the 23rd. So that would have meant that they were aware of it a week before it came out publicly the other day. So either way, I mean, it's not like they didn't find out that morning and then write a statement over 2 hours. It didn't happen that way.
Right.
The Barmore one, that timeline is a lot more wide open about what's the information, what's the evidence there, because we don't need to play the clip, but we had played some sound from Albert Breer from NBC Sports Boston earlier this week talking about the comparisons between the then allegations that were brought against Adrian Peterson, Ray Rice, as the caller noted, that ended up having a lot of documented evidence.
Yeah. Videos, photos, yeah.
And that's kind of what played into whether or not they were then on the exempt list and weren't playing football anymore. As of right now, that's still something that could develop, but not something that we've seen. Let's take another call here. This is Richard in Salisbury. What's up, Richard?
Happy New Year, guys. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing excellent, thanks. Just listening in, and the last caller kind of hit it right on the head there. You know, it's a dangerous game that this we could be playing here with trying to make any type of prejudgment assumptions. There's a lot of people out there that could go into this accusation game here. You know, let the process play through. I've been a victim on the other side where accusations being made that were false, that luckily for me, the truth came out and, you know, but it affects people's lives, affects people's jobs. You know, we can't empower these people. You know, there's victims and you want to trust people, but there's also the other side of it, the people that are, you know, vicious, malicious intent out there.
Okay, thank you, Richard. Yeah, look, everybody is going to bring their. It's impossible not to like bring your own personal judgment. Yeah. But this is what the.
But I think the team thinks that's what's happening to Diggs, like for them to be that strong.
All right. Well, let's turn over to our guest, Mike Onwenu, for Patriots Friday. He joins us here on Jones and Keefe, and although they are out today, we're very excited to have you, Mike. He is brought to us on Patriots Friday by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. So, Mike, first I got to ask, how is your buddy Will Campbell looking as he returned to practice this week?
Yeah, Will is looking good. You know, same old, same old. He's had to go a few weeks off. He's feeling good and looking back to himself. So I'm excited for him to see what he puts back on tape.
Mike, I want to ask you about another rookie on the Patriots offensive line, Jared Wilson, because Will Campbell was a top five pick, highly touted guy, but Jared Wilson has been a starter on the offensive line since early in training camp. What have you seen in the growth of him this year, a guy that maybe wasn't as highly touted as Campbell, but has been out there just as much?
Yeah, definitely. Jared has definitely been putting in that work. I think every game he sees it himself. But also, I mean, just like his technique, everything that he wants to accomplish is getting better. You know, I think he does well. He does a great job learning from week to week and seeing what he can improve on or whether he got beat on something or whatnot. So I think that helps him going forward and just accelerates his progression. And I think he's been doing that this whole year.
Mike, we saw the video of you guys watching the Eagles-Bills game It feels like a long time ago now, but when you clinched the AFC East, how much are you guys aware of the playoff picture around you, the seeding, and will you follow that on Sunday before and after your game, or is it the kind of thing where you feel like you have to keep blinders on?
I would say we keep blinders on. It's not like a whole team thing. I wouldn't say like we're keeping an eye on it. I'm sure individually, you know, guys pay attention, guys watch the games. Obviously, after our games, we look at the other scores and see how the other games went. But, yeah, it's not really that big of a deal, or we're not keeping that much of an eye on it.
So, Mike, I know you said you keep blinders on for the other scores, but has there been any discussion among you guys about resting or anything like that with Week 18 with the playoffs right around the corner, or is it just kind of all systems go like usual?
Nah, it's all systems go. I mean, every week is an opportunity to put good tape out there and have a good game, so I'm excited about that.
Mike, we've been asking you guys a lot about your opinions on Drake May and his candidacy for the MVP award, but what about Coach of the Year? Do you think that there's any other coach out there that can really challenge Mike Vrabel for what he's done with you guys this year?
No, I don't think so. Not that I'm paying attention to any other coach, but you know, it's a lot of good teams out there and a lot of good programs with good head coaches. But, you know, I'll leave that up to someone else to decide. But, you know, I'm very confident in Coach Vrabel and I'm believing him. So I feel that way about him.
Mike, you guys played the Miami Dolphins way back in week two, got your first win of the season down there. How much has the Miami team changed or not changed in those few months since you guys had that first win?
Yeah, I would say they've changed. Or it's not really changed. I would just say, you know, they have different guys in there. You know, people got traded. People have on different teams and whatnot. So I would just say their play style is a little different. Maybe younger guys are coming on, playing better and playing. Or rather, you know, obviously they have rookies that were just starting their first year. So they're playing way more better now and just playing and having a feel of the game. So they're looking good.
Okay, Mike, thanks so much for joining us. And hey, good luck in week 18 and good luck in the playoffs going forward. Hopefully there will be a lot more to talk about for weeks to come.
I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Hey, we are way over. We are up against it, as we say in the business. We got to hit trending on the other side. We're going to get into Grab Bag.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Celtics beat the Kings 120-106 last night in Sacramento. Jaylen Brown led the way with 29 points and 10 rebounds. Seas will wrap up their four-game road trip tomorrow night in LA, taking on the Clippers. Tip off from the Intuit Dome at 10:30. Bruins are off today before wrapping up a West Coast trip of their own. They're in Vancouver facing off with the Canucks. Puck drop from Rogers Arena tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Team USA, Sweden, and Finland hockey announced their rosters for the 2026 Olympics this morning. Four Bruins will be represented in Milan. Jeremy Swayman and Charlie McAvoy on Team USA. Center Elias Lindholm made Team Sweden, and defenseman Henry Jokiharju will represent Finland. Patriots on the practice field today ahead of Sunday's regular season finale against the Dolphins. Mike Vrabel just wrapped up meeting with the media where he ruled out Robert Spillane, Kyrie Tonga, Harold Landry, and Jared Wilson for that matchup with the Dolphins. Tight end Jack Westover will be questionable. In Red Sox news, according to ESPN's Buster Olney, the Red Sox have made an aggressive offer to third baseman Alex Bregman. Finally, the college football playoff semifinals are set after yesterday's quarterfinal action. Oregon beat Texas Tech to advance to the Peach Bowl, where they'll face Indiana after the Hoosiers beat down of Alabama. Ole Miss beat Georgia thanks to a last-minute field goal. They'll take on Miami in the Fiesta Bowl. My name is Zach Coe, and that's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
It's time for grab bag. It's time for grab bag.
John Lyons, you ready for some grab bag?
Yes, I am.
Okay, the first story that we start with this week. Get ready if you're not into influencers, because Tom Brady is. Tom Brady seen canoodling at a St. Bart's party with influencer Alix Earle. That's A-L-I-X, if you want to check out who this person is. If you're not aware, she's very famous with the younger set, and she's part of the younger set. What was your reaction to this?
Still older than Belichick's girlfriend, right?
Yes.
So that was kind of my initial
reaction. She's 25 years old. She was born December 16th, 2000. So maybe Brady was helping her celebrate her 25th
birthday. That's true. You know, and good. You know, he's a nice guy helping her celebrate her birthday. Good for Brady. You know, Giselle just got married to that guy she cheated on Brady with, right? Good for him.
So Alix Earle, as far as I know, she is famous for doing videos on Instagram, and she had a podcast. I don't know if she still does. Do you think that this is something that could be a long-term relationship for Brady, or he's just having a little fun?
Yeah, I don't think this is long-term. I don't know.
Do you think there will be another long-term relationship for Brady? Like, do you think we see another Brady wedding?
I wonder if it's one of those that, like, 5 or 10 years from now, we just find out one day, oh, Brady got married 2 weeks ago, and that's it. It's like
and
a
it's
quiet
like
thing.
A non-famous person that we've never heard of.
Yeah.
A civilian.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Hope you're ready for the next episode. Hey.
Grab bag.
Every day.
Philip Rivers, as we noted before, was part of the Colts, one of the weirdest seasons in modern NFL history. Philip Rivers came out of retirement. His 10 kids. And I don't know if his grandkids ever made it to the stadium, but they were there in attendance for a couple games that he played. He goes back into retirement. How will you remember old man Rivers and his brief reentry into the NFL?
You know what? I give him credit. Guy was having some fun, trying to help the team win. And I know it didn't work out, but he put the work in. It just, you know, at that point, he was 44. He was overweight. There was only so much he was going to do, but...
Well, you had to throw in the overweight thing. You could have just said
was
he wasn't.
Did you see him in the jersey?
He wasn't in NFL condition.
Yeah, yeah.
Not all 44-year-olds look like Tom Brady out there.
That's true.
He had
that's
the ultimate
he's talking
dad.
To Alix Earle.
Ultimate yeah. dad bod. 10
yeah.
kids.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
That's 10 is a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
So that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say about that.
Why, Johnny Ringo? You look like somebody just walked over your
grab bag.
Morgan Moses crashed Will Campbell's media scrum earlier this week. Will Campbell, of course, coming off the IR and practicing, expected to return and play again after suffering an MCL earlier in the season. Do we have the sound for that, Mr. Jackson?
Oh, he's back.
It's just, you know, whenever you hear a noise, it's not something.
15 pounds from State.
It's not something.
Will Campbell!
I think every act.
What do you make of Will Campbell's rookie season thus far? I mean, we're going to see more in the playoffs, but he was somebody who faced intense scrutiny in the draft. And we were talking to Scheim off air before he left and talking about, hey, you need to do like a mea culpa for Will Campbell, because if anybody was anti-Will Campbell in the draft, I wasn't fully pro-Will Campbell, but Scheim was really anti-Will Campbell. He really did not want that guy here. And the offensive line is a very tight-knit group.
And Will Campbell's been good. And he hasn't been elite, but he's been good. And look, the last time the Patriots had good left tackle play for a whole season before this one was probably Trent Brown in 2018. So it's been a while. He's been good all year up until his injury, and Vidarian Lowe did fill in pretty well for him, so give him credit for that. But, yeah, Will Campbell's been good, and he looks like a guy that's going to be your left tackle for a decade, and if that's what you get out of this draft, that's a great thing.
I will note a little update. This is not part of grab bag, but did just get note that Stephon Diggs did talk to media down in Foxborough, where we have some audio. I think we're going to try to comb through it because I think we may need to edit some certain words that are not radio appropriate. But Stefon Diggs did talk to the media this week. So the NFL has rules that players have to be available to the media at least once a week. Stefon Diggs talked today. Haven't seen yet if Christian Barmore talked. He did miss practice Wednesday because he allegedly had an illness, according to Mike Vrabel.
Grab bag.
After many, many, many years, MTV officially shut down its channels to end 2025. No more MTV on your TV. Personally, this makes me sad. As a millennial, I grew up in the Total Request Live era with Carson Daly. Like, I was a little too young for it. Sick brag, young. I was a little young for it, but I thought it was like a very, very cool teenage thing that people were into. I already grew up past when they would show videos 24/7. Like, I never really knew that era. I knew the videos in the morning. I knew TRL in the afternoon. And other than that, it was a whole lot of really bad reality TV. And I think I loved that as well. So I don't know. The last few times I'm a cord cutter, but the last few times I actually channel surfed at my parents' or somebody else's house, they just played one show on loop anyway. So it's not a big surprise, but it's a little sad. It's the end of a trashy era.
Yeah. And TRL, Direct Effect, I was a big fan of. Pimp My Ride, Cribs was cool. Like, they had some cool shows.
Pimp My Ride was crazy. Like,
I thought that was a lot of
fun. We need follow-ups to those cards that had the fish tanks in the back of an SUV.
Them, the TVs on the dashboard, which is probably not safe at all.
I mean, we essentially have that now with touchscreens.
That's true. You know? Yeah, I really liked that show, and I liked a lot of those shows. And also, too, I felt like when I was a kid, if you were watching MTV, that was like a cool thing to do.
Very cool.
So, yeah. But honestly, yeah.
Sick brag, bro.
I feel like the last few times I watched MTV, it was what you said. It like wasn't a real station anymore anyway.
Yeah, it's a bummer. Anyway, hopefully they still have some programming that they're doing in-house. Haven't done enough deep research on that. College football playoffs.
I understand the reason why you're sentimental, cause so am I. It's delightful, it's delicious.
Grab bag.
Sorry to interrupt you there, grab bag. College football playoffs. This is a little interesting. All four coaches in the semifinals are from the Nick Saban coaching tree. And as you noted, as we were talking before the show, it's a whole bunch of new teams in here. It's no more just Alabama, Georgia coming down the stretch.
Yeah. You got Oregon, who they've been in the neighborhood and been national title contenders for a long time, but not with Dan Lanning. Indiana, this is a team that is used to losing up until Kurt Cignetti got there a couple of years ago. Miami, right? Everybody remembers the U, but their last national championship was 2001. And then Ole Miss, they were like a share of the title in 1962, I think. So it's been a while. I'm telling you, Mago, few things would make me happier than Ole Miss winning the national title after Lane Kiffin turns his back on them and flies away. I am root. And look, no disrespect to Miami or Oregon. Great programs, great teams. An Indiana Ole Miss national championship game would be phenomenal.
Yeah. I think that the most of the games, as we said to start the show, were pretty disappointing. Like, it just, that last night's game almost made up for it, but the slate overall was just, it was kind of a drag. It did not play out the way that you wanted. Hopefully this next round of playoff games will be more exciting.
Grab bag.
Jackson, was that the music video where they had the like bullet that flies around in the air?
Yes, it was. I believe that was it. Yep.
That's so weird because I remember like at the peak of watching TRL, that was on the show for several weeks in a row and it scared me. I thought Korn was a very scary band. Okay. Very, very scary band to Little Mego.
The backwards K really got you.
I don't know. I mean, they were just intense and creepy to me. The U.S. hockey team announced its roster among many other countries ahead of the Winter Olympics that come up in February. Two Bruins players are on the roster, Jeremy Swayman and Charlie McAvoy. What do you think of that? And do you care about the Winter Olympics?
So I do, and I like, actually, I love those USA hockey jerseys. I might have to find my way to get one if I can afford one. But
sick brag, bro.
That wasn't even a brag. I said I might not be able to afford it, Jackson. But point is, McAvoy, you should be excited maybe if you're a U.S. hockey fan, because the best hockey he's ever played was in the Four Nations last year. So maybe he does that.
And then he got hurt.
He did, but maybe he continues playing well in the Olympics this year. Swayman, though, I don't know, maybe the U.S. just doesn't have three good goalies. Because, like, Hellebuck's a legit goalie, and he'll be the starter. But Swayman has not played well for 2 years now, and he's the third goalie on the team. I don't know, maybe the U.S. just doesn't have enough good goalies.
All right, that's been Grab Bag. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Dan Ball of WEEI Afternoons before we hand it over to him for the rest of the day.
Once there was this Grab Bag.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Have you and Christian talked or texted?
Christian is my post teammate, you know. Talk about what, per se?
Christian Barmore, you and he both dealing with some stuff off the field. I mean, have you talked?
Is that a football question? Try not to be rude. I said it in the beginning.
I hear you.
Stefan Dix, who made himself available to media today down at Foxborough on the heels of some allegations that emerged earlier this week from a former employee of his, of course, Christian Barmore. Then allegations came out against him the next morning. So it's been a newsworthy week. It's been an eventful week around the start of the new year. Now we're joined by Dan Ball.
Hi, guys. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Did you do anything fun for the new year?
Spent a little time with, I'm going to get sick brag, bro, by telling you that I went to a house party in Cambridge, had some fun with friends.
Like a Harvard party?
Yeah. You know.
Sick brag, bro.
Oh my gosh.
What a way to start the year.
Were there equations on the wall and stuff?
Yes, and I couldn't solve it, so I was asked to leave.
Were you like at the Phoenix Club? You were at one of the finals clubs at Harvard, and you were, you know, with all the future masters of the universe?
Man, it's like you were there with me, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I used to spend some time at Harvard
really?
Back in the day.
Okay.
Sick brag, bro.
It is. It truly is a sick brag.
Yeah, did you guys have a good New Year?
My experience at Harvard.
I heard. I heard this is my first real New Year in Boston. I heard the casual ordering Chinese food, watching a movie. I've heard that's a big thing around here. Did you guys do anything resembling that?
So we went to a party, but okay. Left early. So I was home before midnight.
By design.
By design.
I got to get out of here. I can't deal with the post midnight stuff.
It was more my wife. She's like, "Yeah, I want to go home."
And would you have stayed?
Nah. I was like, "Okay, fine." Like I was like, "Yeah, whatever."
All right, twist my arm.
Yeah. Right. Oh no. Yeah.
I had people over. We made martinis.
Whoa! Nice.
Yeah. I'm a big martini girl. What?
Shaken or stirred?
Nobody actually stirs martinis, do they? Yeah. I've never seen a bartender.
Just from a movie I saw one time.
I've never seen a bartender like stir a martini.
Well, you know what? You know what you're gonna do next time you go out. You're
not
order a martini
that,
and say, please stir it?
That sounds like being the biggest pain in the ass.
Just
I go up to it, I'm like, please don't shake my martini,
say
sir.
It's like for journalistic purposes. I'm doing a report on shaken versus stirred martinis.
They'd be like, journalist, get out.
That's
get
true,
out
true.
Of
that,
here.
That might not work.
Either. Everybody hates the media.
That's true.
Anyway,
the guy is drunk.
What are you guys talking about today?
It is myself and KJ Carson, 2 to 4, before we get you back into coverage of the college football playoff and bowl season and all that. So, complete preview, Patriots and Dolphins, and you know how they respond after a very noisy week off the field. And noted best friend of Andy Hart, Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels, at 2:15 will join us.
That's
as well.
That's right. Well, Josh McDaniels, I don't know if you heard earlier in the show, he was the subject of a debate that we had because our friend Tommy Curran on his Patriots Talk podcast said that he believes that Josh McDaniels is a superior offensive coach to Sean McVay.
Hmm. It's an interesting take, and it's hard to argue with the results, right? It's hard to argue what McDaniels has done with May and his cast of merry men versus the loaded offense.
Why
that the,
are you making
the Rams...
him sound like Robin Hood?
Well,
where
but
did
I mean,
that
what's,
come from?
Well, but what's the? I mean, what's
you've
a
been
better
hanging
way...
out with Fitzy too much?
Well. He is. He, there is a little bit of that in there, of course. But I mean, what's a better way to describe the group of wide receivers? I mean, it's not a star-studded group necessarily. So I don't know. Regardless of that, what he's been able to do with the group that was assembled, it's hard to argue against that. I need to see the repetition of it for a couple more years before I can comfortably say he has supplanted McVay in that regard.
Yeah, I'd give McVay a very slight edge because he went to a Super Bowl with Goff. Like, that's legit. Kyle Shanahan went to a Super Bowl with Garoppolo because McDaniel's been good with Castle, was good with Mac Jones, but, you know, they weren't in the Super Bowl those years. So
yeah.
If he gets to a Super Bowl with May, maybe we're having a little different conversation.
Yeah, that's true. It all about the awards and the trophies at the end of the day. But he's made himself one hell of a reputation in the post Brady era with what he's done. So it's
smoking.
The fact that it's even a conversation at this point is pretty darn impressive. And we'll ask him about that and much more.
We have an important update.
Okay.
From 774, bartender here. For the record, stirred martinis have much more alcohol. The whole point of shaking a martini is to break down the ice to add water to it. So essentially, when they're shaking up that martini, they're watering down your drink, which, quite frankly, I need because I can't really do more than one martini, as evidenced by the way that I felt yesterday to start the new year.
Ooh, not great. A little shaking the cobwebs a little bit yesterday.
I mean, most people don't feel great on New Year's Day. You're paying rent, you're paying your mortgage, and you're hungover. Like, it's always the worst part.
I did pay my mortgage yesterday.
See? That's what I'm saying. At least you have a mortgage to pay. I'm paying rent. Okay, cry me a river, homeowner.
That's true. I did have to shovel my whole driveway, though, too. That sucked.
That does sound like it sucks. Although, you still, like, digging your car out with, like, I don't know, 3 inches of snow sounds a little
just
excessive.
Just like a clean driveway, you know? Can't pay attention to detail.
WEEI Afternoons with Dan Ball and KJ Carson. Hey, thanks, guys, for hanging out with us this week. We know fill-ins can be a little weird, a little wacky. And thanks for granting us the grace as we waded through some breaking news this week. Just trying to get things as accurately as we can over here. Take care. Enjoy afternoons. Enjoy your weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.